chapter 13, Proverbs chapter 13. And I want to read one verse out of the book of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now, Father, we thank you for the Word of God that we've just read this verse, and I pray you'd help me to be a blessing and to preach in such a way that it make a difference, that cause your people to think and meditate on the Scriptures and learn and grow. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to that end today. And you know what we need. And Father, we just thank you for all that you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to talk to you this morning. I'm going to title this short message that we have this afternoon. I'm going to title this message, The Sin of Social Media. The Sin of Social Media. Now, right there, that probably raises flags with a bunch of people. And when I say the sin of social media, I am not saying that social media is a sin. And when I talk about social media, I'm talking about YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Rumble, all the different Parler, all the different social media platforms, MeWe, whatever. I mean, there's probably 100 of them out there now. But when I talk about them, I'm not saying that they are necessarily sinful. Now, they can be sinful, especially if you make an idol out of them. If you care more about spending time on social media than you do in the Bible, something's wrong with that. If your life revolves around what you're hearing, seeing, learning on social media more than what you're getting out of the Word of God, that's an idol, that's a problem, that is a sin. But that's you making an idol out of that. That's you making that. But one of the things that we have in this day of social media is a non-stop world of nothing but contention. A lot of people have said, man, I hate the drama on social media. What they're saying is they hate the contention. They hate the things that are there. And the Bible tells us, and we have all this contention on social media and everything that's going on, and it's bled over into our culture. Of course, the news media feeds it. And this is the one thing. The world lives in a constant state of contention because they're always at contention with God because of their pride, because they won't humble themselves and submit and believe God. They won't do that. So they're always in contention with God. That's why when you go out and you say something as a Christian, boy, you got all this rain of opposition against you. But if a lost person comes out and says something against Christianity, against God, most of the world is applauding them and look how brave they are, look how wonderful they are and everything like that. And that happens. You see it in the entertainment culture. You see it on the news media. You see it on the social media and all the things that are there. And so the world is at contention with God because of their pride against God. The Bible says the wicked, because of the pride of his countenance, doth not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. In Psalm 10, I believe that is. So the Bible tells us that contention comes from pride. And, you know, that's not the only sin that's there in social media. There is the sin of the sin of adultery, looking upon women to lust after them. There's the sin of covetousness that's put forth there. There's the sin there's the people that will flatter with their lips to try to lead people astray. There's all those things, but The greatest sin that social media feeds, I believe, is pride. It's pride. Otherwise, there wouldn't be so much contention. Now, there are a lot of things that go on in this day and age. And by the way, just because I'm using social media as a focal point of this message, realize that's just one arena where this happens. It could happen in the family. It can happen in the business. It can happen in the community. It can happen everywhere. People do things and they get proud and they get angry and they get upset. But when it comes to contention and pride, social media has just blown that up because there's so much contention, because there's so much pride. The pride of man is on display clearly. And this is becoming the downfall of a lot of Christians. It's hurting the testimony of a lot of Christians, whether you believe it or not. Because if you get on there and somebody says something to ruffle your feathers and you respond in kind instead of responding scripturally, then guess what? You've just jumped into the game because your pride was hurt. And that's something that happens all the time. Like I said, we see that in our culture, and social media just amplifies it. But you look at that sin of pride, and it's something that we're all subject to, and we're all in danger of succumbing to so often. Because, I mean, sometimes we lose the idea. I mean, you know, that we have this idea of pride. What's wrong with pride? All right? And there's not necessarily anything wrong with pride if you understand it in the proper context. Pride in a job well done. There's nothing wrong with that. Pride in the accomplishments of a child, if you put that in the right context. You know, I tell my kids all the time, you know, that I'm proud of them when they do the right thing. I really don't care about their accomplishments. I don't care if they make millions, and I don't care if they become famous or anything like that. I could care less about that. What I care about with my kids is I want, what brings me pride is when they make good and right decisions. That brings me pride. I want to have pride in their character, not their accomplishments. And there's nothing wrong with that type of pride as long as it's regulated properly and doesn't become an idol. With some people, Look at the way people, I mean, people are covetousness, and they see dollar signs and everything else, and you have a child that can sing well, or you have a child that has athletic ability, and boy, the dollar signs start rolling and the covetousness kicks in, and boy, they want to push that child to excel, and they don't care about they get to the point where they don't care so much about the character of the child as to whether or not they're seen by the right people or whether they can make it big. And if you don't think that happens, you're not paying attention. I don't know how many people up in Hollywood or sports or everywhere else that you go and you read their stories, and most particularly Hollywood and the music industry and stuff like that, you read these sad sack stories, and granted, a lot of them may just be childish rebelliousness and may have something to do with it. I'm sure it does. But so how many of them have talked about how they hate their parents and the things their parents did, and their parents just wanted to make money off of them and everything like that? And so that type of stuff goes on. And if you make a child into an idol, that'll happen. And then you have other parents who, their idea of being proud of their child is you can't say anything bad about their child. If you say anything bad, it doesn't matter what their child does. If you say anything bad about their child, they're going to stand by their child through thick and thin. I think you ought to stand by your child, but you ought to stand by them for righteousness' sake, not just not approving of everything they do. And there's that tie. That's just an idol. It's idolatry. And that type of pride brings a lot of contention, doesn't it? We look at our culture and we look at the pride and everything that's there, and you go all the way back to the first Gulf War. I sat there and scratched my head during that time where I sat there and watched the media come up to the first President Bush and sit there and tell him, oh, Saddam Hussein said this and this and this and this. And he said, what do you got to say that? And he said that. And they were allowing the media to have access in Iraq and there. And the same media people, well, they'd send their people over to Saddam Hussein. And they said, President Bush said this and this and this and this. What do you say to that? And he'd say something. They'd run back to President Bush. And they were trying to create a stinking war. Their pride. They had the ability to manipulate kings. Their pride. And now we have social media, and that can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. I mean, you can have social media, and you know, we're even talking about the possibility of trying to find a way to put, not just upload messages to the internet so they're available, but actually maybe live stream. We're looking at possibilities of doing that. I've not tried to do that because I believe people ought to come to the local church. We need to be together. But then on the other side, if you can reach people, if you can be available for people who can't come to church, that's a good thing too. So you look at those type of things, and it can be an outreach or it can be something that's used wrongly. There's a lot of traps there, aren't there? But I tell you, the biggest trap with social media is pride. Somebody says something, they want to get their opinion out. And then somebody disagrees. And then all of a sudden, now it becomes a war, back and forth. And I've seen it get pretty ugly. And a lot of things that probably should be said privately are said publicly. But most of the time, something that shouldn't be said publicly at all is said publicly, and that causes contention because somebody is proud. They want their opinion to be out, and they want to say what they want to say, and they want everybody to know what they have to say. Could be good or bad, couldn't it? Depending on how you approach that. If it comes from pride, guess what the result's going to be? Contention. What do we have on our social media? Bunch of contention. You can get on social media and a bunch of people, you can put your ideas out there. And of course the devil uses it. If you put Christian ideas out, they will, many times you'll have a bunch of people attack you. If a lot of people see it, people will attack, and sometimes they'll say ugly and vulgar things. But the people do that. They're ugly, they're vulgar. They say anything they want to say because of pride. They think that they can get out there. They think they can say whatever they want to say without consequence. And that's not true at all. And people go through that, and what you see, all that contention you see, is because of pride. People won't back down. People won't say, I'm sorry. People won't say, won't pull things back and say, you know, I shouldn't have said this publicly, and people won't admit they're wrong. There's all kind of things that go into that, and all these things are the flesh. But the biggest thing is pride, isn't it? I mean, granted, we have a problem too. which kind of amplifies this. And I'll just be real honest and frank about this too. We have got to a point in our nation that most people in our nation, everybody's writing something, but most people in our nation don't have the grammar and writing skills to effectively communicate in writing or understand what's being written. And so rather than understand what's being written, they assume what's being written. I've had many, many people, a few times I've had a foray into social media, and I don't spend much time in the way of anything on social media, but when I have, I've made a comment and people have got all up in arms about what they thought I said, which wasn't even what I said. And I had to go back and say, no, read what I said. I didn't say what you're saying. I actually, in some cases, I said the exact opposite of what they thought I said. And it's not because these people may not, if I had said what they thought I said, they might have had a case to have said something. But the problem was they didn't understand what was written. They didn't understand simple grammar. And so they assumed whether they knew what I said and got mad. And then the other people that didn't bother to read what I said but read what somebody else was saying about what I said, they got mad. I had one guy say, how dare you tell me I didn't read that properly. And I said, I told you you didn't read it properly because you didn't read it properly. And they got upset, getting mad because of that. That what is that but pride? If you were to say something to me and I would say, what are you talking about? What do you mean? That don't sound right. And you say, wait a minute, what did you think I said? And I said, I thought you said this. You said, no, I meant this. If I said to you, oh no, I know what you said. I would look pretty stupid when you tried to explain yourself. But that goes on all the time on social media, and nobody thinks about anything because they think that because they are behind a keyboard, nobody can see. But everybody sees. They actually see more than they probably see when they see you walking around. And if you're in the midst of a bunch of contention, the question is, why are you there? And what are you doing? Are you adding to the contention? If you are, then it becomes an issue of pride, doesn't it? Because only by pride cometh contention. But it says that with the well-advised is wisdom. So if you're going to be involved in social media, you need to understand something. The media is a public forum. The media is like walking out in the street and hollering out what you're going to say. How many people would walk out in the street and say what they say on social media? How many times do you see people when somebody says something that they disagree with, everybody runs over there and starts getting in a big fight over it? Doesn't happen very often. I mean, yes, it happens from time to time, but most of those big fights are around among people that are fairly close to one another, not by a bunch of strangers. But as our culture gets more comfortable with that type of behavior on social media, we're watching it then become more comfortable with that type of behavior in the genuine public. And you know what's happening? We're seeing a rise of violence. By the way, if you go to the book of Genesis and you look at the first time God judged the earth with a flood, He did it because the earth was filled with violence. Something to think about, isn't it? I mean, social media can be a great thing. But if you're in the midst of a bunch of contention, it's because of pride. And if you live to see what arguments is on social media, you're just a purveyor and a consumer of men's pride. How could that be a good thing? Now, with the well-advised wisdom, if you're going to get out there, you need to realize that you need, if you're going to be a Christian in that, you need to be a Christian. You need to talk like a Christian. You need to behave like a Christian. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and before honor is humility. We ought to be the ones that are out there. You know, the Bible tells us, bless those who curse us. And the Bible tells us not to render railing for railing and cursing for cursing. Yet people get on social media and they do the same thing. They do the same thing. Why? Because they're hidden. They feel like they're hidden. But you're not hidden. You're in a public place. And social media is the ultimate place for rubbernecking, digital rubberneckers. The people that when something bad happens, everybody wants to take a look. But they get the added advantage of trying to pass judgment on everything that goes on, don't they? And there's not a lot you can do about what other people can do, but you can do something about what you do. And that doesn't just go for social media. That goes for your everyday, run-of-the-mill, in-person encounters in the world. If your life is full of contention, I can tell you why. There's some pride there. And pride is something we need to get rid of. If you read what the Bible says about the devil in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 14, in Ezekiel chapter 28, those things that tell us about Satan before his fall and why he fell. It was pride. He said, I will be like the Most High. That he was corrupted by reason of his brightness. He became proud. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be worshipped. He still wants to be worshipped, by the way. If you go in the Bible and you look at the book of Job and you read through the book, whole book of Job, Job is put in what we would consider an impossible situation. He loses all his property. He loses all his children. His wife tells him to curse God and die. And his friends come up and they start out okay, but it doesn't take long before the blame game happens and they've got everyone an opinion about why Job's in the situation that he's in. And Job has to endure chapter after chapter of accusations made by his friends, and he has to deal with them, and he talks about it, and at the end of it all we find out that God rebukes these friends and tells them, you did not speak right about me as my servant Job hath. So in all that time when Job was complaining to God and not understanding and calling out to God and saying, why can't I understand what's going on? Why can't I plead my cause before God and everything like that? What's going on? God still said that Job maintained his integrity and Job said the thing that was right about him. But before you get to that point, and when God first starts speaking, He doesn't start speaking to Job's friends that have tormented him for all those chapters that we read. He speaks to Job. And he says, I'm going to ask some questions. And I want you to answer me. God begins to answer him all these questions. Ask him all these questions. And God asked Job question after question that Job can't even answer. And Job twice says, I've spoken. I should have kept my mouth shut. He said, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. What was Job's problem? Job, as good a man as he was, he got in a bad situation. And he began to think that there's no way I should have to deal with this because I haven't done anything wrong. He got proud, didn't he? And God dealt with him about his pride. If God dealt with Job about his pride, I think we better pay attention. Let me ask you a question about the type of person do you pray for your loved ones every day? Or do you miss a day or two or three or four or five or six or seven or eight or nine or ten or 20? The Bible says Job prayed for his kids and even offered sacrifices daily. Somebody like that, if he's got to be worried about pride, especially when bad times come, what about us? And when you get on social media, you're not hidden. You represent the Lord Christ. You're a Christian. And you might be able to hide yourself and not show yourself to be a Christian, and you can be as ugly as you want to be, and you can act however you want to act and be as prideful as you want to be, but I bet you sooner or later it's going to be revealed that you're a Christian and your testimony is going to be worth mud. You see, the only thing we need to earnestly contend for is the faith. We're told in Jude that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And the way to do that is not argue about it, it's just present it. Not be ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, if you have a caged lion and you want to defend him, the most effective way is just let him out of the cage. Don't be silent. Open it up. Just put it out there. It's the power of God unto salvation. And we can do that. We can put the gospel out. But then we also need to behave like believers, don't we? We need to speak like believers. But not just on social media. And social media is just a microcosm reflection of what we are when we think nobody else is looking. But the problem is everybody's looking, aren't they? We act like nobody's looking, but they are. There are folks that go out there and say ugly things for the sole purpose of causing a ruckus. You ever known anybody like that? Just imagine those people when they're anonymous. And it just amplifies, doesn't it? People will say ugly things. They'll say blasphemous things. They'll say all types of things. But how do we deal with it? You've got whole families that are being torn apart by social media because somebody decides they're going to publicly say something, and instead of taking it and dealing with it in the family, it's all on the front pages. Everybody gets to throw their little R in and have an opinion about it. So many hurt feelings, breaks. How often has it happened? Why? Just dirty, stinking, rotten pride. Well, there's so much contention on social media these days. That's because there's so much pride. But what does the Bible tell us about what we're supposed to be as Christians? What does it tell us? And let's just go over to the book of 1 Peter real quick, and we'll close out with this. In 1 Peter, it says this, likewise ye young, verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hey, do you know that the devil is involved in social media trying to see who he can get to trip up and who he can ruin? Why do we go out into social media acting like the devil doesn't have anything to do with it? If you're going to get out there, I mean, let me ask you a question. If he's walking around in what we consider the, quote, real world, why would you think he's not there in that world? There are people there, aren't there? And the devil works most effectively through people, doesn't he? Now, the funny thing about this is if we post this on the internet and enough people see it, and we title it The Sin of Social Media, there will be a long line of people who will run around saying, that preacher in Mississippi said the internet was sin. When I say the sin, I'm saying it's the predominant sin of social media. It's pride. And you don't need to go there. And you say, well, I don't have anything to do with social media, so I'm in the clear. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because it may be amplified there, but it's amplified there because it's already here. We have to be careful about pride as a Christian. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the message today. Father, help us, we pray. Lord, it's so easy to get caught up in the pride, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and especially the pride of life. And Lord, we know that that's not of you, it's of the world. So Lord, help us to turn away from that wherever we are, whether in our homes or whether on the street or whether online or whatever the case may be. Lord, that we would not be caught up in pride, and help us to recognize that we're in the middle of a bunch of contention, especially if we're participating in that contention. It's because of pride. So, Father, help us to overcome that sin and that temptation to pride in that way. Lord, help us to realize that what's most important is that people see the truth, not that they see us. Help us, Father, we pray. Lord, bless your people as they go. Again, we pray for Brother Carl. We ask you to continue to heal him. We thank you for the fact that he didn't break any bones, and we just thank you for that. We ask your blessing as we dismiss here today, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.